Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 5. Verses 31 and 32. John chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And our subject this evening is the witnesses to Christ. The witnesses to Christ. And we continue in our series, of course, through the Gospel according to John. And we will, God willing, work our way through this evening to the very end of the chapter, this chapter 5. But this has been, of course, like all of the chapters in this gospel, it has been so rich in teaching and profound spiritual truths. Just to remind you very briefly, we have observed at the very beginning of the chapter that tremendous healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And we have heard also of the Lord affirming his unity with God the Father, saying in effect that he is one with the Lord. And we have also seen how the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. The Jews knew that he was making himself equal with God. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. And it's all here in this chapter. The Lord makes that claim that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And the Jews of the time most certainly understood that. And that was why they had animosity toward him. That's why they wanted him done away with. We also learned, and I think we touched on this last week, how we cannot claim God the Father if we do not have God the Son. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. We do not have any part with God if we have no part with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in a God that has not sent the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then you do not believe in God at all. There is no such God that has not sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The only true and living God is the one who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the teaching here. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And many other things he also mentioned which give that great scent, that great sense. And then, of course, last week we considered the Lord's teaching on resurrection, on quickening of the dead. There was resurrection in time past, for as the Father hath life in himself, the Jews knew that life or resurrection from the dead could only come from God the Father. But the Lord Jesus said, but there is a resurrection being done in your present. When I speak, there are those who will hear my voice, hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This would be, of course, the gospel age. All those who hear that effectual call, well, they would be brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. All those who hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. All the elect, they will be quickened, they will be saved. This is how it is in the gospel age. So it was resurrection past, resurrection present, and then the Lord even spoke of the great judgment that is to come. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is the resurrection that is to come in the future, when the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the whole world. Even the dead shall be raised and shall be assembled before him. And this is, well, the Lord's teaching on the resurrection. And all of these things, well, they are so very vital to us and very precious to us as teaching and doctrine. But now we come on to a portion of the chapter from here on, from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. And what will take place here is that the Lord will present witnesses to his claims. He claims to be the Christ. He claims to be the Messiah. He's claiming that he is one with the Father, and therefore he is the Messiah. But what exactly are the evidences of this? Where are the witnesses of this? It is as though, if I can put it to you in this way, it is as though the Lord is in a courtroom and his identity has to be proved. His identity has to be legally proved. He's made these claims. And so what's going to happen? Well, various witnesses are brought forth to support his claim that he truly is the Messiah. And so that's just an illustration, but that is what is happening here. The Lord has made these claims in this chapter. Where are the witnesses? Now he's going to bring forth the witnesses to support these claims that he is making. This is what is happening in his exchange with these Jews, with these leading Jews. The Lord has made claims, and he is now backing up those claims, or various witnesses will be pointed to back up these claims. So that is the scenario, and the witnesses are brought forward one by one. But before the witnesses are brought forward, well, we read something quite surprising, or quite unusual perhaps, in verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. This is the Lord, of course, speaking. If I bear witness of myself, if I say I am the Christ, and all the other claims he has made, my witness is not true. Now, of course, this tends to surprise us, because it seems as though the Lord is saying that the claims he is making about himself are not true, which, of course, would mean that he has been lying the whole time, which, of course, would mean that he is not sinless and not the Son of God. So is that really what the sense of verse 31 is? If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. No, of course not. The essence of what the Lord is saying here, he's really speaking from the perspective of the Jews. He's confronted with the Jews, and he's speaking from their perspective. According to you, you Jews, you doubters, when you hear me, when I give witness of myself, you always say, you automatically say, my witness is not true. I have given you my claims. How have you responded? You've said it's not true. You have just dismissed it instantly. He's showing them their point of view. So the Lord is not saying, I am lying. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What he says of himself is true. Of course it is. It's always true. But according to them, according to the Jews, from their perspective, whatever I say, you will dismiss. That is the point he is making. If I say something of myself, you will always dismiss it. Therefore, I'm going to bring in further witnesses. That is the point that he is saying here. And so he will bring other witnesses that will help them to overcome their prejudices, that will help them to overcome their immediate objections. Obviously, you're not going to listen to me, but I point you to the other witnesses to help you to believe. There's even kindness in this. And this is the point he is making. But when I was thinking upon those words, I was reminded of a question that I was asked by a school child, and I think I've shared this question with you. When I go into the schools, the children always ask the hardest questions. And one of the questions was, why didn't the Lord Jesus write any part of the Bible? Why didn't he write any part of the New Testament? Is he not the Son of God? Is he not the central figure of the New Testament? Why did he not write any of the New Testament? Well, it's for the same reason, because people would immediately dismiss it. People would read the words of Christ. If there was a book of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, would that not give people an excuse to say, but this is just his opinion? He's saying he's the Son of God, but that's just him. Of course he's going to say he's the Son of God. But if, on the other hand, he doesn't write any of the New Testament, and it's other people saying that he is the Son of God, others are bearing witness, that gives more weight to his own claims. So it's not just coming from him, it's coming from others. It's coming from, well, we read of John the Baptist, it's coming from Peter, it's coming from Paul, it's coming from John the Apostle. It's not just the Lord Jesus Christ saying, oh, look at me, I'm the Son of God. There is more weight given. And so this is part of what is being presented here. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Of course, whenever the Lord speaks, you can believe him 100%. But because of our unbelief, other witnesses have to be brought forth. And the Lord, of course, has provided those witnesses. And verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now, just very briefly, because again, this is can be a tricky verse to interpret. Some people, some commentators suggest that who is being spoken of here, there is another that beareth witness of me, is John the Baptist, because the Lord is just about to speak about John the Baptist in verse 33. But other commentators say that this is speaking about God himself. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. The Lord is speaking about God the Father, the one, the only one who is true, the one who cannot lie. Of course, the language seems too strong just to be talking about a mere man, an ordinary man. This is most likely speaking of God the Father. And the point that the Lord Jesus is making is that God himself has provided evidence. He has given abundant evidence that I am the Christ. So if you don't take my word for it, well, the Lord himself has ordained that there will be evidence to fully back up my claims that I am the Messiah. So first of all, the first witness that is brought into this courtroom is John the Baptist. Verse 33, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John the Baptist, well, of course, he said, didn't he, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this was very clearly the witness of John the Baptist concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, he went on to say, and I'm reading from John chapter 1, verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And this is, of course, John's great testimony. As soon as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore testimony. He bore witness. And well, it wasn't just John. Of course, I've already mentioned all the disciples, all the apostles. They too would bear witness that he is the Christ. And it's true for us, of course. We too are all witnesses of Christ. His people, we, the church, we are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 5, look at how John the Baptist is described in verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. Well, this is how the church is so often described, isn't it? Light, ye are children of light, walk in light, ye are the light of the world. The Sermon on the Mount, this is who we are. We ourselves are witnesses that Christ is the Messiah. And the light that we have, of course, it does not come from us. We wouldn't have that light if it were not for Christ. So when people see that light in us, which is so different to mere happiness in this world, it is the joy and that peace that comes with believing. It is it's the light of life. Nobody except the Lord's people have this light in them. And when others see it, well, we are bearing witness that Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. We are that bright and shining light. When people see our joy, when people see our zeal, we ourselves are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord does say that in verse 34, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Even though we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is not dependent on our testimony. His claim to be Messiah does not rest solely on the testimony of man. And this is what he's saying here. I receive not testimony from man. It is not essentially dependent upon us. But these things I say that ye might be saved. So he's referring to John the Baptist. My testimony as Christ, as Messiah, did not depend entirely on him. I'm not the Son of God just because John the Baptist said I am, in other words. But what he was saying was true. And if you had believed him, you might have been saved. And so, well, it's true of us. You know, when we go to the doors and we speak to people, we speak to them about Christ, and we speak of all the joy that he has brought us. You know, we don't want them to believe just because we're telling them that, just because somebody at their door is telling them that. They themselves have to seek and find the Lord for themselves and believe for themselves. And really, that is the essence of what the Lord is saying here. I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. If you had believed yourself what John the Baptist had said, you would have been saved. So yes, we are witnesses unto Christ, but the Lord is not dependent upon that testimony. And in fact, he says in verse 36 that he has greater witness than that of John. He has greater witness than that of John. And this comes to our second witness brought into this courtroom. And what is this witness? For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And here the Lord is referring essentially to his miracles, to his miracles. Now, I have already said, and I'm sure you're thinking of it, I have already said that the miracles themselves do not produce faith, and of course they don't. Miracles themselves do not produce faith. They are not as important as the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said, as the things that the Lord Jesus Christ actually taught. But those miracles that the Lord performed, they could not be ignored as evidences that he was the Christ and the Messiah. And well, in this chapter, as I've already mentioned, the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. This miracle was something that could not be denied, that could not be ignored. And by the way, when we think of the miracles of Christ, they were unlike anything else ever seen before, or anything that anyone will ever see since. They were so unmistakable. They were so clear, they could not be questioned. When men and women were healed, There was no doubt, there was no suspicion about them at all. They were healed fully. They were healed permanently. Not like healings in certain churches nowadays, where all of the healings are so dubious and so suspect. These were genuine. They could not be questioned. If they could have been questioned, well, the Pharisees and the scribes would have questioned them, would have said, this actually has not happened. But they couldn't do that. All they could say was, well, perhaps this is the work of Satan. He's in league with the demons. They couldn't actually question the healing. They just had to attribute it to, well, he's demonic. But these were true healings. And, well, they were so, sometimes they would, in a sense, reverse the laws of nature. You think of the Lord walking on the water. You think of the Lord calming the storm. You think of the feeding of the 5,000. How can 5,000 be fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It cannot be done. And yet, at least 5,000, 10,000 most likely, were filled and there were leftovers. This was unquestionable. These miracles, and there were so many of them. It wasn't just that the Lord performed one miracle and it was a fluke. You could maybe say, well, he only did one. He did so many. All of these things were evidences pointing to the fact that the Lord, he was Christ, he was God, he was divine. And by the way, his miracles were so kind and so loving. You know, if you can think of it in this way, or try and think of it, how terrible it would have been. And I try and speak reverently, but the Lord, of course, did not commit miracles or work miracles that were distressing in any way or brought negative things in any way. They were all blessings. They were full of life and healing and joy, which showed the heart of God, the nature of the miracles, the number of the miracles. They were so wonderful. And Nicodemus, remember what he said in John chapter 3, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, dear friends, we don't put all our faith in miracles. It's not miracles that convert, but miracles most certainly showed that he was the Christ. And well, we can add, perhaps we can apply it in this way. There are, well, the greatest miracle in the gospel age, of course, is our conversion. When we are truly changed, when we are permanently changed. And again, when people see that, when people see a man or a woman who has changed, they go from hating God and being bored by the things of God to loving God and following him. This is a great witness that Christ is the true Messiah, the Son of God. Those changed lives, the Spirit working in a believer, those answers to our prayers, all of these things, they show the work of God in us, and they testify that Christ is truly the Messiah. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So it's the works. And by the way, just to make this point, even in the miracles, the Lord is showing forth his unity with the Father. He only does those works which the Father has given him to do. He never works independently from the Father. So again, even in this verse, he is showing his unity. He is divine. It's not like he just works miracles just at the spur of the moment. All of these miracles that Christ performed were ordained before the foundation of the world. So these are all evidences of Christ's great divinity. But then, of course, we have the next witness, and this is the Father himself. Now, this will actually be quite a brief appearance, but verse 37, the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. God himself, well, we can think of the voice of God the Father at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father himself gives that witness. But those things, and a number of the commentators pick up on this, those great instances, the transfiguration, the baptism of the Father speaking, they were in a great sense very private. Only three of the disciples, for example, were there at the transfiguration to hear those words. And at the baptism, well, it's not clear that everybody heard them. But there is another way in which the Father has borne witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is through his word. And this is what we read in verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So this is, well, it's the third and fourth witness joined together. The Father bears witness to the Son. How does he bear witness to the Son? It's through the scriptures. It's through the scriptures. It's not through hearing his voice. Well, even at the end of verse 7, ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. It's not through some voice in the sky that you've heard. How does the Father bear witness? It's through the scriptures. Search the scriptures. And this is the fourth witness. Well, dear friends, the scriptures are so important. And we know that the Lord would constantly make appeal to the scriptures in his resurrection appearance to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. How did he show himself to be the risen Christ? Well, you know what he did. He began at Moses. He opened the scriptures. He began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Search the scriptures. Christ is in every page, in every book. He is the high priest. He is the fulfillment of the high priest. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. He is the bronze serpent raised up in the wilderness. He is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke, unto us a child is given. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. So search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's saying to the Jews, you see the scriptures as holy, and they are. You see the scriptures as those things that will lead to eternal life, those things that will grant you acceptance with God, and they are. But what are they really speaking about? They're speaking about me. They're testifying of me. So yes, you're right in thinking that the scriptures are the way to eternal life, but what are they really pointing to? It's me. They are they which testify of me. But verse 40, here we have really right up to the end of the chapter, the hardness of the hearts of the people, of the Jews. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know ye that ye, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. It's only through the scriptures that you can know the love of God. You can't see them in the miracles. You can't see them in the natural world. Sometimes people go out into the natural world, and I'm not knocking this, but they go to a beautiful landscape and they say, well, I feel so close to God. But you know, there is a way to be even closer to God. And that's through the scriptures. Through the scriptures, you truly know God and his plan of salvation. You truly know the love of God and all that Christ has done for you. Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Well, dear friends, I have to go quite quickly through these verses now. But is it not a sad feature of history that there have been so many false prophets who do claim, make their own claims from themselves? They testify of themselves and people are taken in by them. I've spoken about this before. You think of very famous cases. You think perhaps of David Koresh in Waco not so long ago. He gave his own witness of himself. He said, "I am the Son of God." So many people believed him. And it's been like that throughout history, even other religions. There are sacred books written by just one man or just one woman, and people will receive them. But the true God, they will not believe. This is so sad. This is the nature of man. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? They were religious only to please one another, to please men, not to please God. And verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And the Lord Jesus Christ again is saying, well, you're not going to listen to me. You're not going to listen to me accusing you of all these things. But you know there is coming a day when even Moses will accuse you. In one sense, he's saying, if Moses were here at this time, in this exchange with the Lord Jesus and the leading Jews, Moses himself would accuse you of unbelief, because all of his writings speak of me. And this is how it will be. We've spoken of the resurrection. On the resurrection day, when all the dead are raised, who will Moses side with? Moses will side with Christ and all those who belong to Christ. Dear friends, I mentioned this, I'll close with this, but I mentioned this last week. There are some religions that claim that they believe in Moses. You have Judaism. They claim to believe in the words that Moses wrote. You have Islam. They will say that Moses is a prophet for them. But if Moses reappears, when he does reappear, who will he side with? This is what the Lord is saying. Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He is going to be on the side of Christ and all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have God. You cannot have any part with God unless you have Christ. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe his word. But think of all the other witnesses. You have the church. You have the miracles that he performed. And even for us, the miracle of conversion. You have God the Father himself testifying through the scriptures that this is the Christ. What more do we need, dear friends, to turn away from these things? Well, that truly is hardness of heart. May the Lord bless and help us that we may instead have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.